in the book of Galatians today. Last week I talked to you about overcoming and about how Satan longs to work on us and how he beats us up over something. But today I want to talk about what it means to have a responsive heart. That's what I want to talk about. In Galatians chapter 5, we have what Paul will give to us as one of the most incredible descriptions of who a Christian is to be, how we are to respond to God, how we're to respond to each other. And he makes it very clear in the 22nd verse of that chapter when he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there's no law. And there never will be a law because God has decided this. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That statement in and of itself is a powerful statement. And this is the message. It should be the motivation of our lives to be pleasing to the Lord because of the life of liberty that he has given us. We're not under the bondage of the law. We're not being beat up by the law. But the fruit of the Spirit, the very Spirit that lives within us, has to be something that is expressed. And it starts with that great word that Terrence brought to us this morning about love. It begins with that word right there. But he says in that 26th verse, if you live in the Spirit, then you need to walk in the Spirit. Many people talk about living in the Spirit. They talk about what God has done. They want to talk. But do we really walk in it? Or do we just give lip service to it? Do we just talk about it? You see, there's a life of obedience that God requires from each one of us. And it's not like an Old Testament law, because the Old Testament and the law that was given by Moses, it was defeating. It was frustrating because you could never, ever do what it wanted you to do. You can try to commend yourself, as many people still do today. I don't know how it is that a Christian wants to stay in an Old Testament law trying to prove themselves to be good. Trying to prove themselves by living after a bunch of statutes that were laid out for the Old Testament, laid out for the children of Israel. I must have been a child of Israel. And the reason I'm saying that, because when I was first saved, they put up all of these statements for me, and they said, you need to do this and this and this and this and this. Because they knew that I wasn't going to do this and this and this and this and this, unless somebody was over top of me going this and this and this. And that's exactly the way I lived my life to begin. I didn't know about the law of liberty. I did not realize exactly what was necessary. And in many ways, it brought on fear. It brought on dread. It brought on an insecurity. Do this and thou shalt live. Do not this and thou shalt be damned. Well, that's a terrible thing to say to people, isn't it? That's a terrible way to think about what has happened in your personal life. It's a terrible way to do any one of the things. But that is simply a repeat of what the law was saying. But I thank the Lord, it never brought victory. It never brought anything, because you never knew if you were good enough. Aren't you glad we're not under the law, but under grace? Aren't we thankful today that the life of grace and of the Spirit that is Jesus Christ lives within us? And it's liberating. It liberates the soul. But we need to back it up, not just what we have up here, not what we may even have right here in our hearts. We need to do, we need to put it in our actions. We need to give it from a full and wonderful heart and a grateful heart to what God has done for us. Because out of the heart flows the issues of life. So what is your heart saying? What are we saying today? Are we the kind of people that are responsive, with a responsive heart unto God? Do we let him know how much we love him? Well, that's what I want to say to us this morning. Do you realize that the worst sins that we ever commit are sins of the Spirit? You say, well, I thought there was actions. No. Jesus said if you did it in your heart, you did it. Yes. And that's one of the things we fail at so many times, because those sins are the sins of our hearts. They are the same thing as the spirit. The same sins as the spirit. That's because they are the spirit. That's who we are in him. Examples. Cain. Cain killed his brother Abel because of a bitterness that he had, not so much towards Abel as he was to God. He was angry with God that God did not accept his sacrifice, but yet he loved his brother's sacrifice, Abel's sacrifice, because Abel gave the best. That's what he did. And this is where Cain ended up. And he did that very same thing. You look at Joseph's brothers. What were they? Well, they were bent out of shape about the fact that Joseph had a coat of many colors. They realized that they were not daddy's favorites. And therefore, they were ticked off. And they expressed it. Who did they express it to? They made Joseph suffer, but they were really saying it to God. That I'm not happy with you. I'm not happy with my situation. How about Moses? Moses is standing, and he takes a rod and strikes the rock. You remember that part?
Yes.
What did God say? What was God saying to him? Speak that the Lord might be honored. But Moses was fed up with the people. I can only imagine that he was fed up with people at times. I know how he's fed up with me at times. There's Saul. Saul is chasing David out of jealousy. Why was he so jealous? Well, because the women were all singing, what a hunk David is. No, that's not the song. That's another song. I just want to see if you guys are awake today. I mean, you know. They were singing, Saul hath killed his thousands, David his 10,000s. And what happened to Saul? Jealousy. And therefore he sought after the life of David. How about Elijah? One of the greatest prophets. What a fantastic prophet. I'll never forget standing on Mount Carmel and seeing the statue and all the things that they were talking about. But there was an opportunity in his life after that very thing under a juniper tree. And what happened to him? He had a spirit that we just sang about. A spirit that God can overcome for us. It's called depression. And he was depressed. He was praying that God would kill him, that he'd take him out, take him on right now. Why? He had run before Ahab's chariot all the way down the mountain. He knew what took place on Mount Carmel. He had defeated all these prophets. He thought he had won the entire world back to Jehovah, only to realize how strong the enemy really was. And now he's at his juniper tree. And he's got his head down in depression and saying, take my life. You ever tried to win a victory and you think you got it all down, only to Satan pours out even more? And it brings depression. We're thinking, Lord, what am I to do? Ask Jonah. Jonah made it very clear. He refused to go to Nineveh. He just absolutely refused. He said, I hate these Gentile dogs, and I'm not going. Well, you know how God is about things like that. God said, I like amen in the back. That's a great amen in the back. Thank you for an amen in the back. Can't get one in the front, but that's okay. What happened to Jonah? God said, I'm going to have mercy on a repentant city. And that ticked him off. That's exactly what it did. How do you dare have mercy on it? Because God is a God of mercy. And when you repent of your sins, when you turn back to him, he is always going to hear that. But in this case, he goes and sits under a gourd, under a leaf of a gourd vine. And he's praying, oh, take me home, I'm ready to go. Well, you're not going to the same place I'm going, buddy. Unless you get your heart right. Unless you get your attitude right. And he did not have that. How about when you get somebody like, how about the elder brother and the prodigal? You remember what happened there? The prodigal comes home after wandering off. Yes, he did all the terrible things. Yes, everybody understands. But the father sees him and he loves him and he does all that, repents and does all these things and puts on a big festival for him and all that. What does the older brother? He hears the noise. He thinks it's all great. And he comes up there only to find his little brother's being honored. He's being loved on. And what does the older brother do? He pouts. Cry baby. He's in anger. He's mad. All of us. I think all of you can raise your hands. It's okay. He was angry. Why was he angry? He was not, it wasn't so much about, well, my brother's come home. Look what he did to you, Father. I've been here faithfully serving you all these years. Come on, Christians. Come on, church members. Have we not been those kind of people at times? I've always been here. I've always stood. I've always done these things. I've always supported. And look at these flybys. They come in, they fly out. What's the big deal? It was a whiny heart. A whining heart because he didn't feel like he got the recognition that he deserved by staying faithful. You know, heaven and earth hates that kind of attitude. I don't know anybody that appreciates that kind of an attitude. But my friends, all of these things, all these examples are sins of the Spirit because they come right out of here, right out of our hearts. Now, I like it that we don't stop there. I love it that Paul would write in Galatians chapter 5. I love it that he would give us the triads of blessings and virtues. And he gave it to 9 of them. And he placed them in 3 little separate deals right here. Because out of our hearts, out of our spirits, are the issues of our lives. They're the things that color us who we are. They're the things that says that ultimately and fundamentally and forever determine what kind of people we're going to be. If these are alive in you, this is what God says we will be as children of God. He calls it, the term in Greek is karpos. And karpos means simply that this is the fruit of the Spirit. The karpos, the fruit. This is what he's applying. They're all one, they're singular. But yet in those singular things, they mount up. 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way. 9 different fruit of the Spirit. And they're separate. I had to go through those this week. Had to go through it. And I was sitting there going, I'm not too good on that one. Wish I was better here. Oh, I got that one down. But what happened to this one over here? You ever done that? You ever look at the fruit of the Spirit? You ever acknowledge what God is saying to you and saying to me every time? He said, these are the issues of your life. It's a cluster. All 9 of them put together. You like grapes? Yeah, I like grapes. Okay. Sometimes. Okay. Do you just eat one?
No.
They come in clusters. This is a cluster of the fruit of the Spirit. So you, not just one, we need to answer to every single one of them he gives right here. What did he say? You got love. You got joy. You got peace. Those are the great things that he begins us on. That describes our relationship to God. Love, joy, peace. This is who we are before God. I don't have to walk before God in fear. I don't have to worry about the fact that any moment that he zaps me because I didn't do everything exactly the way we should have. But he doesn't stop there. He says, I got another 3 for you. He says, well, the first one is long-suffering. I didn't do too good on that one. Gentleness, never been one of my strong points. Goodness, I did okay there. You know, probably got a C. Y'all laughing about it. How about you? Where do you fall out now? You know what that is? Those next 3 are about our relationships to each other. How we treat people. Are you long-suffering? Are you gentle? Do you show goodness towards people? But he's not done yet. He's got another 3 right there for us. And this is what it comes to us as our character. As a Christian, this is who we are. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. I always said, you know, 6 out of 9 is not bad. Rangers would have gone for that. Oh, world champions. And all you Astro fans will just have to get over it. Okay. I was free. I just had to put that in. I'm sorry. What is my responsiveness to God? It comes out of here. Not here. You can talk all you want to, but do you walk? Do you live out a regenerate love that God has placed within you? Is there an overflowing of His presence, His Spirit within us? That is what brings love. That's what brings gratitude to God, every one of them. Our Christian lives are full of His presence. This is who we are supposed to be. It should bring joy to your heart. It should give us the victory in this life. It should have us triumph over every obstacle that comes our way. You see, people, this is what God does. And that's why He said, these are our blessings, and these have now become our virtues. Meaning, they should be personal. Take those nine. Grade yourself. See where you stand, honestly, before God. That's the demand right there. That is everything that I want to see in our lives. So I picked one. I picked the one that really is the hallmark of every one of them. It's the love, the agape love that he talks about right at the first. Love as the fruit of the Spirit, the climax, the pinnacle, where you start. It's all right there. For the karpos, the other Greek term, it means the effect, the produce, the result. All of these things right here, this is what it's talking about. It is what we are in the Spirit. That's what he's describing for us right here. He's saying, this is who you are in Jesus Christ, and it's proved out by his love in you. This is what it's supposed to be. I mean, I know what Paul said. I mean, I got all nine of them. I read them. Every time I read them, I have to think about that for a while. My friends, we choose what we want to do. You and I choose how much love we want to have. We choose what God is trying to do in our lives. Anybody ever followed after the law and you made that your high point, that this was what I'm going to live by? If you did, how well did it produce love? Did the law ever produce love in your life? It's never done it for me. It's never given me anything that I can say, oh, I want to be that. No, because it's not made for that. Love is what changes us. And it's His Spirit that makes us love. That's what it does in our lives. But love only comes when it's free. Love only comes from a liberated heart, a free spirit. Love only is provided when we respond to God with our whole heart. With our soul. This is what he's always pointing towards right here. Because love is born out of the soul. It's who we are to be. This is why he saved us. This is why he filled us with his presence. That we might have that. And it arises, it comes up out of the depth of our being. Because it is of a free spirit. Not some bondage. Not some commandment. Not some dictation that man came up with. It makes you think, doesn't it? It sure made me think all week long. How good is my God? Well, my God's great. My God is merciful to me. I count them up. Jesus died for me. Did he die for you? Yeah, he died for you. Did he set you free? Yes, that's exactly what he did. He did away with the law, the old covenant. It's gone. He said, I have a new covenant for you. Can you call on him in prayer? Use his name? Does it open everything to the Father? Yeah, in the name of Jesus. That's how we get it. That's what we do with it right there. Oh, he gave me a mansion. Haven't got there yet. Not interested in going right this moment either. But one day in the new city, I'll be there. And it'll be my mansion. It's going to be for me. He stands by me in everything. Even the things that I didn't do very good, he's still there by me. He comforts me all the time. He strengthens me. What is God wanting to do more than that for each one of us? This is the month of Thanksgiving. This is the month of saying, Lord, I love you. I appreciate it. So out of my heart, I'm going to show my gratitude. Out of my very being. I don't care if you're sick. I don't care if you're bubbling and you're well. We still should have our love and our gratitude because of the fullness of his presence in our lives. Sickness or health, it doesn't make any difference. Yes, we're not always bubbly. Okay, I get that. But out of my heart, I should always be willing to say what God wants me to do and be that person. Why is that? Because God delights in it. And there's nothing more important in our lives than God delighting in the very term love, because it is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, how do you get pleasing to God? Well, you get pleasing to God because he gave us a gift. And that gift is love. I'm asking, is this who you are? Really, it's personal, people. Is this who you are? Is this an accurate description of who you are? If it's not an accurate description of it, maybe we need to reexamine ourselves. Children. I love children. I want to beat them there. No. Kids. Y'all love kids? I hope you do. Let me ask you about with children. You want children to be obedient, correct? We were in a restaurant last night, and we had a couple that were... I was going, Lord have mercy, sick a sock in that, okay? But I didn't say that because I'm just a grandpa sitting on another table. But when you want a child to be obedient, and if they're not, what are you going to do, beat them to death? Is that the answer? And then say, if you don't beat them to death, are they going to be obedient? Is that the kind of child that you want? Do you want one that is scared of you so much that they would be obedient because they're scared? Or do you want one like God wants? He wants us to be obedient and love him because we love him. That's what he wants. That's what he's looking for. He's not scaring us with the Old Testament law. He's not scaring us with, it's the Sabbath. You picked up a stick. You started a fire. Toast. That's the law, people. You pick up a stick, you started the fire on the Sabbath, they took you out and they stoned you. What a joy that would be. Taught me never to pick up a stick in my life. Okay. What does God want from me? God wants me to walk before him and love him. God does not want me to be afraid of him. You know, when Abel, the Bible talks about Abel, and he says, and Abel brought to the Lord a minchka. A minchka is a Hebrew word that simply says it's an offering. It's a sacrifice. It's a gift. It has all three of those meanings right there. And he did everything. He did his best. That's what God saw. God looked at Abel's heart, and he said, Abel loves me. Abel has an admiration for me. And I love Abel, and I will accept his michna. I will accept it because there's affection, there's gratitude, there's thanksgiving. Every bit of this right there, and that's why the Lord received his michna. How does he receive mine? He looks at my heart. He looks at your heart, and he sees what he will see. 2 Samuel, we talked about a little bit about this. Bethlehem. We all know Bethlehem. Everybody know Bethlehem? You ever heard of Bethlehem? I'm not talking about Pennsylvania. Okay. But in your mind, you've seen it, okay? We all know about Jesus born in Bethlehem and all the things that went along with it. Bethlehem is now overrun, not with wonderful Jewish people and how great and incredible it is. No, it's not overrun with that. What is it overrun with? It's overrun with uncircumcised, heathenistic Philistines. They had taken over Bethlehem. They were hunting David because David was knocking their socks off. That's exactly what they were doing. And David is, we find him there in 2 Samuel, and he says, oh, for a drink of the water of the well, which is by the gate of Bethlehem. He was reminiscing. He was thinking about, man, I used to go right out here and here's the well, and it was wonderful, and I could drink. I can't get anywhere near that. Two of his men, two of his mighty men, overheard the expression of his heart. What did they do? They go right through the middle of the Philistine army. They sneak all the way up to the well. They get a draught of water, a jug, whatever you want to call it, and they sneak right back out and bring it back to David. These men risked their lives out of love for David. That's what he did. And when they came back with it, David realized what they had done. He didn't send them out there. He didn't command them. You go get me something to drink. Sound like me and Margaret at times. I don't say it quite like that, no. Honey, would you please, can I have some water? But these men did it because they loved David. What did David do? He took the water, he said, I can't drink it. I risked my life to get you water and you're not going to drink it? No. He said, he took the water and he poured it out as a sacrifice unto God. How much we dream for things, how much we want things, how much we think would complete us in all things, and we would lay it at his feet as a sacrifice. Not only did that honor God, but it honored the two men that risked their entire lives to bring that to him. They gave their mitnah, and this is what David gave back. There was a woman by the name of Mary. She came in to where Jesus was seated. She had an alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard, is what the Bible, the King James says. She broke it open, and she began to pour it all over his head and anoint him. You know what was unique about that? Not only what great love and devotion she had for Jesus, but she always got critics. That reminds me of church at times. Well, I can't believe that you just did that. We could have given that. Do you realize how much that was? That was worth 300 pence. You realize that 300 pence in that day was an entire year salary? And you just wasted it on him? You just poured it on him? You just did this right here to him? What did Jesus say? Let her alone. From here on out, everywhere the gospel is ever preached, it will be a memorial unto what she has done, a spoken remembrance because of a mitzvah. She poured out a gift of love upon him, a heart of gratitude. That was Mary, and that's what she gave. You see, love is to be my motivation. Love is to be your motivation. It is fruit of the Spirit. That's exactly what it is. It's the karpos. It's the fruit, it's the effect, it's the produce, it's the result of God living within us. And what do we do with it? We are to serve God, not out of fear, but out of a full heart. Out of recounting all the goodness he's showing me. You're going through a hard time? Okay. Is God not going to see you through that time? Has he not blessed you all the way up to this difficulty that you're facing right now? And will he not be there when it's finished? Maybe he's saying to you, this is the end. Okay, what's next? Eternity. Can't beat that. What could you do more than that? I've got streets of gold. I've got gates of pearl. I've got a mansion that's made just for you. Not, it's personalized. It's just for you. And this is the thing that he's doing. There's no command. No commandment in this. There's no mandates. There's no law. All that he gives us right here comes to us, and we give it back to him out of a heart of love because he loved us first. There's a poor widow woman. Jesus has the disciples, they're all seated outside of the treasury. Remember that story? And she comes and she takes the what we call the widow's mite. Well, really, in reality, it was everything. You say, well, but it's just one coin. No, You don't understand. It was everything. She had nothing left. She gave everything. Have anybody emptied your bank account yet and gave it unto God? Has anybody ever sold everything that they have, took everything they have, and give it right back to God? Don't do it unless God calls you to do it, because if you do it and he didn't call you to do it, then you're just a moron. But in this one right here, this widow gave everything. Why? Because it was her mitzvah. It was her gift. Because out of her love, her praise, her appreciation for God's goodness, she was willing to give everything. Wow. Makes me want to examine, am I pleasing? Do I have the gift of his love? Let me finish with this. What is our worship before the Lord? I love the singing this morning. I love the praise music. I enjoyed. I always enjoy our national anthem. I always enjoy honoring those that have given so much and sacrificed so much to be in the military and do all the things that they have done. But when we get down to the praise songs, you come alive. You forget about your issues for a moment, and we sing and we love those things. I got John the Apostle. He's out on a lonely, stony island called Patmos. And he's out there, and it happens to be the Lord's Day. Now, the Lord's Day was not Saturday, like the Jews. The Lord's Day was the day that Jesus rose from the grave, and we celebrate it today. It's Sunday in a Christian's life. And here's John out there on this barren rock. He's being left to die. Either he will die because of the elements, or he's going to die of starvation. One or the other. That's what they left him there to do. But now it's the Lord's day. And he's suffering all through this thing. But what does he say? I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Wow. If we don't get toast with jelly on it in the morning, we're not in the spirit. He was in the spirit of praise. He had the spirit of worship. He had the spirit of communion. And this was the day that he was going to observe all of those things and praise his God. Was it out of fear? Never. Was it worried about anything? No. He had pushed all that aside and said, I'm here to praise the Lord. Because of his love, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to do my very best. I'm going to give what Abel give. My Mishnah is my gift of my love to him. That, my people, that's free of any mandate. It's free of any issue that you've got. Nobody's commanding you to do it. We are absolutely free to love the Lord and to give our lives to him. Is not the cross enough? That's what gave us a new covenant. That's what did away with the old covenant. That's what made us who we are today. So, how do you feel being free today? Feels great. Really, how do you feel? Do you feel enough love in your heart to say, Father, you've given me everything? What a sweet opportunity. What a privilege that we have has been given to us. I hope you sing songs of praise just like John sang songs of praise. I hope you can actually, I can't sing. Well, try, okay? You know, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Be like the rest of y'all, okay? I love Lily sometimes. She shocks me on Sunday morning. Are we going to church? I'm thinking, is this child on something other than what she's supposed to be on? She says, I want to go to church. Grandpa, I want to go with you. Did you wake up today? I know you got an extra hour. Did you wake up with the absolute desire to come into the fellowship? Did you come with the joy knowing that we can be right here in the presence of a holy God, as we are all the time, but we're enjoying sweet fellowship too. And that's what he wants. I want to go to church. I want to be part of this. I love the statement. It says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. That should be my true motivation. That should be my mitzka. That should be my love. That should be my praise. That should be my honor. That should be my gratitude. The privilege of getting to come. My friends, this is the fruit that God longs to give to each one of us. And he put it at the head of the list as the fruit of the Spirit. This is my effect. This is my result. This is my produce. This is my everything. Because this is my spirit. And that spirit says love. Let's pray.